Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, gobble, gobble, turkey, turkey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts in the land. Happy Thanksgiving week to you. Paul and I are taking a break from slaving in the kitchen, running around town, killing turkeys, rolling over pumpkins, and stealing apples from trees of our neighbor's design, just to talk to you. Good to see you, everybody. Good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you, Tom.
How's it going over there?
Oh, I'm recovering.
All right.
What about you? Did you finish your travels?
Mm-hmm.
I left a few hours before you did, but...
Paul and I were wrapping up a long, long run. The fall tour where we got to go out and see a lot of you good people. We were in Colorado. We were in Philadelphia. We were...
I was in Mexico,
Delaware.
You were in Philly.
We were all over the place, and it was a good run, and now we're home for a bit. But, of course, there are other shows for you to go and consider. We are, I'll be on the next three Prairie Home Companions starting December 2nd, 9th, and 16th, all in New York City. If you want to come check those out at Town Hall, I'm not sure if they're sold out or not. A live Come to Papa on December 13th at the Village Underground. If you're looking for tickets for the holidays and you think that might be a good gift, we will be in Chicago. We will be in Phoenix. We will be in Boston, Washington State, Northern California. Tons of tickets on sale. Go to TomPapa.com. And when you do go to TomPapa.com, you will also see a new banner on the website. Ooh. That says, pre-order my new book now.
Whoa.
The book is actually up and active on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, IndieBound, Powell's, any place you buy books. You can pre-order and give that as a gift, or just hang on to it because it's a ways away. It's not till, I don't think it comes out till May or June, but it's very exciting. There's a cover that it says... by Tom Papa, which proves I've written it.
Cool.
Very crazy. Very cool to see.
No typos?
There's still typos. I'm still cleaning them up.
No, just on the cover.
Ooh.
That's what you got to worry
about. I never
about.
Even thought of proofing the cover.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. That's at any stage when you're doing something like this, it's like, yeah, I'm sure it's fine. How much more are we supposed to do? I'm sure it's good. There's lots of shows out there for you to come and get tickets to. And, as always, we are, increasing, we're getting closer to our goal for Patreon. That is the subscriber, part of our podcast. If you subscribe to the podcast, you're helping us get to a grown-up stage of having a real producer, and Paul will able to get some new outfits. And if you go on, you can subscribe. We have people at different levels. You get invited to shows. You get to enjoy the extra bonus tracks of the podcast, which we will be posting today, another one. And if you go in for the full Monty, you even get a sourdough bread.
Whoa, what's the reviews so far?
On the bread?
You've mailed a few.
I've mailed, I think, 5 or 6.
Yeah. So what do you think? Has everyone liked it so far? Are they keeping it on their mantle?
The reviews have been tremendous. They really love the bread. And they're getting the bread. There was one guy in like Canada that it took 3 days to get it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still, in his mind, fresh and award-winning.
I feel like you should also make like a dummy version of your bread. Just so people can have it as a decoration. I feel like if I got it, I wouldn't eat it. I would just keep it and show it to people.
When I was a kid, there was a show called Wonderama. Do you remember Wonderama?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderama was a kid's show. It was on Sundays, I think. It was either on Sunday or it was on after the cartoon block in the morning on Saturday. And it was like you knew you weren't getting any more cartoons and you were bummed out. All the good things were done. all the headliners were were done, and then they threw an extra one on.
Yeah.
And it was called Wonderama. It was kind of like a little bit of a game show for kids, and they it was kind of lame but kind of watchable at the same time. And they had a little they would hand out like a little bagel necklace. Mm-hmm. It was like a little Wonderama. I'm thinking maybe we should make sourdough necklaces. Would you wear one?
Yeah, that was my idea once. Remember how we always talk about the comedians always like to be rock stars?
Right.
And the rock stars always like to be comedians.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it'd be funny to make my own guitar picks and just throw them out at the end of the show.
That would be cool. Just like throw them, like throwing drumsticks. Like,
I haven't played anything, but let's just all pretend.
You don't remember Wonderama?
No.
It was on between 1967 and 1977. So.
But it didn't make it to repeats.
A children's television program originally appeared on the Metro Media owned stations from 1955 to 77, and then it was revived 80 to 87, and again in 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a good word, Wonderama.
Yeah, it is. Parting gifts. Here we go. Each week, audience members received a package of parting gifts as detailed on the show. A Lactona toothbrush, an issue of Dynamite magazine, a supply of Good Humor ice cream. I remember, yeah, he would pull them out. Hostess Twinkies, a six-pack of RC Cola, a Goo Goo Cluster candy bar.
Oh, I remember those.
A tube of Hold cough lozenges.
Eesh.
A package of Fruit Stripe gum.
Ooh. Yeah, that was good.
I love that. The flavor lasted for 10 seconds.
Just to the beauty of the gum, though. The stripes were so cool.
The stripes. And that was the mascot, was a zebra.
Yeah, I'm certain that caused cancer or something, that dye. Wasn't that the red dye that was like...
Probably. A gift certificate for Burger King or McDonald's. Nandy candy, a chocolate bar containing fruit. A pack of Lender's Bagelettes. That's what it was.
Oh,
Bagelettes.
Yeah.
Each child got a necklace made from a real shellacked Lender's Bagelette. Isn't it funny that that's stuck in my head? Which had either their name or the last initial painted on it.
Wait, I don't understand.
I wanted one of those so badly when I was a kid.
What do you mean a real shellacked bagel?
Like they take a bagel.
Yeah.
And then they shellac it. They spray it with that clear...
So it's real bread?
It's real bagel. Yeah, hardened. Like, you know, shellac. You have shellac in one of your jokes.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's usually not a real... real food.
Yeah, it kind of preserves it. These little bagelettes, they're little. They're like mini, tiny little bagelettes.
Yeah.
They were about the size of two quarters. Go out. And I would sit at home and watch these kids getting a bagelette with their name on it. I was so jealous.
I remember Lender's Bagels.
A 45 RPM record of one of the music artists who had performed on Wonderama episode that week, and a Harvey Comics comic book. Wow. Look at this lineup of people that were on Wonderama. Everyone from ABBA, Jerry Lewis, Jody Foster, Van Halen, David Cassidy. Oh, David Cassidy's in trouble right now. Is he still alive? His organs are failing.
I think it might be over.
Oh, terrible timing. The Muppets, Jim Henson, Dick Clark. The list goes on and on and on. This was a big show.
Yeah, sounds like it.
The cast of Annie, Scott Baio, Reggie Jackson, Walt Frazier, Harry Chapin. Man, oh man.
That was when like everybody had the same agent, so they would all get on like the same show.
And there was only, you know, a handful of shows. There were five channels. Wonderama. Man, oh, man. Yeah, and the guy, I don't know the name of the host. He was a goofy white dude. The guy, Roger Daltrey from The Who. Would you, Paul Morrissey, host an all-kids show?
I'd give it a shot. I've done... it was funny that... Just over the weekend, my boss, this guy Mike Mangus, who was the sports director at the TV station that I was a sports anchor at.
Uh-huh.
And like Rich Eisen was also there as like the weekend anchor. And so he's a super nice guy, a great guy, and he's retiring. So they just sent all this put all this stuff on there. But you had to host the Academic Challenge. Mm-hmm. Was one of the things, which was basically like a kid's trivia game. That's what we had in our studio.
Right.
And our news director used to do it, and he used to do it as like a, you know, an adult making fun of it.
Right.
You know, he would make it really super high stakes, even though it didn't make you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Turn it in Jeopardy.
Right.
This is your final chance to win $25.
The Wonderama show, Bob McAllister, that was the host. He was a goofy dude. He was just like this goofy, like, grown up. Like, he wasn't. Like, now you would put, you'd put like a teenager or someone in their 20s, you know, like someone close to the age. And they just, it was just grown ups making a show, like a guy in a suit.
Well, I feel like back then it was more about the voice than the personality or the looks of the guy.
Oh, yeah, this was the song. Kids are people too. Do you remember this song?
Kazoos.
Kids are people too.
Yeah, but they're playing
wack-a-doo,
kazoos.
Wack-a-doo. What a great show. What a great show. So maybe we should bring it back. Bring back a little sourdough. A little sourdough
shellacking.
Shellacking.
I feel like the sourdough is like it, that could be used as a weapon, at least the bagel.
It seems friendlier.
That was what was nice about your show in Philadelphia, that someone threw a loaf of bread on stage, and we just realized yeah. that how safe it was to have that be your trademark.
Yeah, people just have nice loaves of bread. You're not going to get hit in the head and go down.
Like, if you really like nickels or something.
Yeah, so that was a good run. We were out there cranking on the road, and by the time we finished those two shows, the last show was great in Glenside, and we had a great show, great time. Then we got in the car, went back towards the airport that night. You slept for maybe 3 hours. I slept for 5, and we cruised over to the airport. It was windy that morning. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's all night it was. It felt like.
I didn't think we were going to get out.
Yeah.
And you had a smooth trip back?
I did, yeah. I took that Virgin. I had the whole row to myself. It was pretty sweet.
How'd you like Virgin?
It was nice.
It's good, right?
Yeah, yeah. It felt a little hip.
Yep.
Then the big puffy headphones that you use once.
Yep.
Seems like now I know why they have to merge with Alaska. They're too nice for everybody, I think. But yeah, I got back, and then you had to do a show that night.
I did. I still don't feel like I've let up because I flew in, and I did that Largo show with Jeff Garland and Andrew Bird and Ira Glass.
Yeah, how was that?
It was really fun. It was really cool. I was very funny. I had enough energy to do it, and it wasn't so bad.
But are you used to that? Well, I guess that's a regular comedy show, but does it feel like the Prairie Home Companion helps you, like, with those kind of shows?
As far as people recognizing me or coming out?
I don't know. Well, I guess he didn't interview you, right? You just did stand-up.
I just did stand-up, yeah. No, but people are starting to come to the show because of Prairie Home Companion. Like, someone sent a message that they've been listening to me on there, and then they came to see us live in Pennsylvania. And so I think it's slowly starting to catch on with that audience.
That's cool, which is
a cool thing for sure. But now it's all about Thanksgiving, baby.
Yeah.
I hope everybody is listening to this as they're running around doing their chores. Maybe they're making a pie crust. Maybe they're dressing the turkey. I have been...
Oh, it sounds so gross.
What?
Dressing the turkey.
What's wrong with that?
It makes it sound like you're doing like a psycho version of a turkey, like putting clothes on it or putting lipstick on the turkey.
Put the turkey in the basket. Put the turkey in the basket.
No, you're cooking the turkey because you killed it. That's what you're doing.
Well, we're going to dry brine it. I went today to pick it up, and I got an 18 to 20 pound turkey that was a certain kind, and they came out and said that the one I ordered, they didn't have. I ordered it a month ago.
What?
I've been dialed in for Thanksgiving for a long time. This is my third, fourth one that I've been hosting. I know what I'm doing. For like weeks planning it out, and they come out and said that the turkey I ordered, they don't have.
How do they pull that?
I don't know. Then he started throwing turkey facts at me real fast, and I got confused. He was like, you know, but then we're going to give you the other Destolt brand turkey with the that's still organic. We're gonna, if you use your Prime card, we're going to give it to you $1.99 a pound. It's going to be... I was like, what? Now I got to get coupons? What's happening? No, it's still a good bird. It's going to be, you know, but the heirloom one is just not too... I was like, I don't know what's happening. My daughter's like, what did he say? I have no idea. But... what I did was I made them go bigger.
Yeah.
So I got a 22 pounder.
Whoa.
It's big.
What's the brine?
Big bird.
What does that mean?
The brine, to keep it a turkey moist, you can do, you brine it. You treat the turkey. And you can do a dry brine or a wet brine. Wet brine is basically taking the juice and like squirting it all over the turkey, basically. You know, we're going with a dry brine, which basically is rubbing it with salt and butter, and you kind of like rub salt all into it, and you wrap it in a large plastic bag, and then on the second night, you turn the turkey over, and you rub it all over with, you stuff the bird with apples. And
what?
Yeah. 2 days before serving, you rinse the turkey and pat it dry. Rub all over with kosher salt, slipping salt under the skin where possible and rubbing it into cavities.
Is this all old wives' tale stuff?
No, man.
Is this scientific?
This is scientific. And then the second night, you turn the turkey over. A couple hours before you're cooking, you remove the turkey from its bag. You pat it dry, put it in a roasting pan, allow it to come to room temperature. And then you sprinkle all the thyme and the parsley and stuff all over it. And then you rub butter all over it and then stick it in there.
The pilgrims have kosher salt?
No. Yeah, they probably did. It's a way to get the crisp outside of the bird. So it's kind of like crisp and crinkly, but the inside is really tender. And my worst food word is moist.
Right, yeah.
You want it to be creepy. Moist. You like that cake? It's nice and moist.
So creepy.
Are you enjoying that? It's really moist. I love this cake. It's so moist. Ugh.
A dead turkey, it's so moist.
But that's what we're going for. So the turkey is here. After this podcast, I will be unleashing it from its bag and rubbing pounds of salt all over it into its cavities.
Now, but also you were away for a week and your starter was tended to, was your bread?
Yeah, for about a week, it just starts to get a little hungry. About a week, and because I had to crank out a bunch of breads, I had my family feed it right before we got back. And so now I've already cranked out two loaves, and tonight there will be four more loaves. And the problem is, I made this beautiful, two beautiful loaves last night, and my parents are here already, and they've already eaten one loaf. And then I had bread in the freezer that I was going to use for stuffing, frozen in there. They ate that too before I got home.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm a little behind because my family keeps
eating
it.
You should have like a picture of Thanksgiving and just have the turkey with like 30 loaves of bread around it.
That would be pretty great.
That's what everyone thinks your Thanksgiving is. It's just bread.
Just bread.
And a little bit of turkey.
What I want to do, I can't really talk about this, I guess, right? Why I was in Philadelphia. I don't know if I can or I can't. Let's just say there might be a project involving cameras in which I may or may not be hosting that deals with bread and baked goods that people might be able to watch in the future on some station. That might be happening. That might be a project that is in the works. While I was in Philadelphia, I met a person named Kevin, who's runs a Amish bakery. Mm. And he's actually Mennonite, which means pretty much Amish, but you're allowed to drive and use technology.
Ah. And who lets you do that? There's a guy that tells you when you can drive?
You sign up for a religion, you got to follow their rules.
Gorf?
Yeah.
Is it God?
Like, or if you signed up for Orthodox Jew, you would be separating your plates in the dishwasher for dairy and meat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You would be eating kosher, right? You'd be doing all these things. For Mennonite, you adhere to the religion of basically what Amish is, but you're allowed to drive your car around.
Yeah.
And come into Philly from the Amish country and run a bakery.
Especially for spring break, you can drive your car. For Rumspringa.
What's that?
You never heard of that?
Oh, when they go crazy, when they let them out.
Yeah, that's when you can just live like a normal person and go nuts when you're like,
right,
20
they don't
or
come
18.
Back. They go kind of crazy.
And then you can either come back or you can
stay out there, man. You can stay a fallen soul. Great guy, amazing guy, and he taught me how to make sticky buns. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my Lord.
Do they have podcasts? Are they allowed to listen to it? Can we find a loophole?
They could probably listen to our podcast.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
If someone else is listening to it, they can listen to it.
Yeah, probably. So I'm going to try and make those for Thanksgiving morning.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sticky buns.
Sticky buns. I got to look up the recipe, though, because they use, in their dough, they use potato flakes. Mm. Potato in their dough.
Whoa.
And once you get the dough done, though, it's pretty easy to do sticky buns. You got to roll them up. You put brown sugar and butter on everything, and then you
just roll.
Oh,
that's what I was wondering, what made them sticky.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, on the inside, but then the outside is like a caramelized, like you dip it in this, like pretty much in caramel. Oh, it's so good.
And caramel buns?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's like sugar.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to see if I can make that. But man, that was great watching these Amish crew just cranking out all of these amazing baked goods. Donuts, yeah. Whoopie pies. You ever have a whoopie pie?
Yeah, I think so.
Those are like almost like round devil dogs.
Right.
Ooh, Nelly.
And they get the cream in the middle?
I think I gained 6 pounds just during that week of...
You probably did.
Pretending.
If you're just eating random things every hour.
Yeah. All day long.
Yeah.
Pretzels, bagels, breads, pizzas, pork sandwiches.
That's crazy.
Yeah. If this project, which may or may not be a television show, ends up going all the time, I'm going to have to really get a personal trainer.
Well, you're going to have to get a spit bucket or something.
Yeah, you probably can't really eat everything.
Or
oh, that'd be gross.
Stomach stapled.
Jeez. So, that was pretty amazing. And I learned some cool stuff. And I can't wait to go and figure out how to make these sticky buns.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. So I've got some lined up for probably 4 loaves of bread for Thanksgiving. I feel like I should just keep making more until... I should just keep making them until I can't make them anymore. Bella's trying to get in. You want to let her in?
Yeah, sure.
Bella's very excited. Here in the future of global warming that is Southern California, we just put in fake grass. So the Bella will be able to run around, and she basically ruined our yard and made it into a mud pit. She left? All right. She's got some other friends. And she seems pretty happy with that fake grass. It looks like a golf course.
Yeah, she looked like, you know, the Houston Astros when they had the Astrodome. They weren't sure that they're going to like playing on the artificial turf, but then it ends up gripping more. And she was sprinting around circles. The only thing I'm wondering if she's going to be the first dog to get a turf toe.
Ooh, that really could happen. All right, so this week, as we know, the Giants football season was pretty much declared over. Mm-hmm. And then I've been just getting pounded in my pool this year that I won a bunch of money in last year. And this year, I'm just like almost in last place. So I handed over my picks to Paul for this week and let him pick all of my games. Do you want to know what you came out as? Your record?
I would think about even.
You actually were winning. You were 8-6.
I was going to say, there was two huge upsets this week.
8-6. And one you called, and we bet the other way.
Yeah, we thought the Giants would actually win this week. But yeah. Then conventional wisdom told you, no way. This 1-8 beat the powerhouse Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Who managed 6 points in overtime.
Amazing.
But what was the other big upset? There was another... trying to think. But yeah, I think... Yeah, you would have been... So was that put you... Was everyone else pretty much even this week?
No. I mean, someone always kicks ass.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, someone always... some results... My results... Nope. I'm trying to see which ones you actually picked. It's not giving me last week's.
Because in my pool, I only have to pick one game a week. And I once again picked the Browns to lose, and they came through.
Once again.
I think they're 0-10.
They haven't won a single game.
And it doesn't look
good. Did they win one last year?
They must have. I don't remember.
They maybe won one game last year. Well, you did pretty well. You did not
We lost that Packers game.
I'll tell you what you lost. Killed. You lost Denver and Cincinnati. You lost New Orleans.
And the Bills game. I remember that one.
Yeah. So not too bad. You definitely...
picked the Eagles.
Yep, that was good. And last night we won with Atlanta. So you did pretty well. So maybe you should do next week also.
Well, that was without even... researching it.
Well, I didn't want you to research. We were sitting in a horrible, disgusting, soulless hotel sports bar. In our wisdom, at the end of the tour, we decided, let's just go close to the airport. We'll wake up and just go home. It's the party's over.
Yeah.
So we stayed at this place by the airport, literally on the runway.
Yeah.
Planes flying. It really made, when we checked in, I thought to myself, you have to be somewhat emotionally stable to stay in a place like this. If you have any bit of you that leans toward depression and suicidal thoughts, a hotel like that would make them just emerge and you would not stand a chance. You would never get out of that hotel. It's one of those places where the door to the bathroom opens the wrong way. The water comes out weird.
Yeah.
Everything is a tannish, just bland color of sadness. It's just, you could just smell the millions of businessmen that were disappointed and had to stay there because their company wouldn't give them a nicer place and the sale didn't go through and they just had to sit in there and just be sad. Oh. And then we went for lunch because there was only one. You couldn't go anywhere else.
Yeah, you're on. That's what I was joking, that we're going to have to take the shuttle to the airport to eat.
Yeah, like when you go on your iPhone and you say, what's the food near me? It showed like Terminal 2. There's a restaurant at Terminal 4.
You can spend $19 on a sandwich.
Yeah. So we were totally screwed. So we went into this horrible sports bar, which I was kind of excited about.
Yeah, it looked nice. Like, they had a lot of projection screens and people watching food, but you realize that's just for pounding beers, those places.
And those people that were there were not staying at the hotel either.
Oh,
they were
really?
Local. They were local, Philly, living near the airport, sad people who were just there to watch the games and bet on whatever they were.
They were there for the drink specials.
Yes, they were not in a good way. Yeah, and we ordered lunch, and it was, I think, the most disgusting food I've ever eaten.
It was pretty bad.
It was so bad.
And a chicken sandwich is really hard to screw up.
It had this smelly provolone on it that smelled like an ancient man's feet. And it just wafted up before you even got close to the sandwich. You're smelling this horrible BO.
Yeah.
And then it's like wet spinach on top of it. The chicken wasn't even, you couldn't even find the chicken in the chicken sandwich. This big, awful, disgusting bread.
And then you got your wings.
Oh, and then we ordered wings, and a wing came out with two giant feathers sticking out of it.
Oh. At least they're fresh.
I mean, they were like 6 inches long. Two giant, it made me think that these birds were like hit with growth hormones and steroids. Like, I've never seen a chicken with feathers that long.
They're flamingo wings.
Oh, God. It was so bad. I really thought when we were eating, and I hardly ate any of it, but I really didn't think we were going to make it to the show. I figured, okay, we're both going to have diarrhea, and there's no way we're going to get through the show tonight. But it actually didn't hurt. I think because we didn't eat that much of it.
Yeah, we're just being like, even when I was analyzing it, like I had no sleep. I was like, I should be, and I was in two different countries last. I was in Mexico where everybody gets sick.
Yeah,
and I still didn't.
Maybe
get
we're
sick.
Getting hard. Maybe we're just building up a resilience.
I think we got to avoid winter at all costs. That's the whole thing, because that's in those rooms. I mean, that's the thing. We even had it was a pretty nice hotel, and when it gets that level of, you know, 40 degrees or lower, then you've got, you know,
it comes through the walls.
Well, you have it's freezing in the window, and then you've got the heat blowing, and then so it's basically these two atmospheres fighting each other in your in your room. So yeah. At any point, you're sweating and you're freezing. As soon as it goes off for like 2 seconds.
It's a bad way. It's really, you're just in a bad way. And, you know, you don't want to be snobby about like staying in a fancy hotel, but certain things don't happen in those fancy hotels that happen in those places.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
I mean, you could feel it right away whether this bed's been cleaned or this carpet is within 10 years.
And I don't even care. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, who cares? We're not. I feel better. I feel like we're not going to get sick in those places. I think the place where you get sick is when you go to like a drugstore.
Oh, yeah?
Like anyone that's wandering into a CVS in a seedy part of town, there's mucus coming out of their nose. There's disgusting things in their throat. Their hands are covered in crud.
Yeah.
And you just opening the door to get into a CVS in Wilmington, Delaware, you know you're asking for it.
Well, that's what, because I had kind of a crazy journey because I came in the night before and then had to get a ride. I got a ride to the train station in Wilmington, Delaware before I knew it was the murder capital of the world.
Had no idea. It always seems so nice.
Yeah,
that
it's
great
Delaware.
Theater. There's that great little theater, the Baby Grand Opera House. Nice sold out show. Beautiful people. Yeah, the symphony next door. And they say if you go one block in either direction, you're going to get shot. It's so terrible. They said it's more murders there than Camden, New Jersey.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of murders. All right, so here I am in the pool. I am almost, I'm in the bottom quarter. I'm at 104 out of 120.
Oh, wow.
My record is 75 and 85. The leader is at 98 and 62. Do I have any shot?
Well, so how many there's?
I would have to get 3 weeks in a row of getting 12 wins or better.
Well, I'll tell you where it starts. The New York Giants playing on Thanksgiving. Did you know that?
Yeah, against the Cowboys. I mean, against the
Redskins.
Redskins. That's the late game.
So, yeah.
We're going to be so full and happy by that point. It's going to be amazing.
So, you got to make your three picks before Thursday because the Lions.
Oh, that's right. There's three picks on Thursday.
That's a big one. You got Vikings, Lions, who are both having great years. That's a big one.
What do you think Charlie Rose is doing for Thanksgiving?
I think he's trying to see if he gets custody of that table. You think he says that?
I used to watch him when I was in college, and we used to call him the smartest man in the world.
Really?
Yeah, because he was just always had these great interviews, and he just seemed like he was so smart. And we just would always laugh, like, "Well, let's watch the smartest man in the world." And yeah, I always loved him. He was always so great.
See, this is how I always felt. I always felt like that was something that cool, smart people did. They're like, you know, I have this huge movie.
Right.
If I'm George Clooney or, you know, some musician, and I'm going to do PBS because I'm grounded.
Right. Dave Matthews did it.
Yeah.
Smart economists would do it.
Well,
people.
I feel like those people were Charlie's pick, but he had nothing to do with Dave Matthews being there and really had nothing to ask him except for. So when did you start playing music?
No. I disagree.
Come on.
He was a good interviewer. He would always ask really smart questions. He would always keep it going. He always had a sense of what these people were.
You didn't feel like he fell asleep for several minutes?
No. Not at all. And now we know he wasn't doing that. He was thinking about all the ladies.
He was texting him under the table.
Yeah. Come on. He was a ladies man. Apparently, he was a big ladies man. It was his reputation. I always knew that he was a big drinker. Everyone said he was like a New York socialite. And he was in the part of that intelligentsia of New York, and they would get liquored up. And he would always be at all the parties, and he'd always be not sloppy drunk, I guess, but just drunk. He was a drinker. He was a man about town, let's call him.
Well, yeah, that's a guy that drinks that much is kind of embalming himself, right?
Yeah.
He never looked good younger, but he's looked the same for the last 25 years.
Well, that was the weird thing about it. Okay, so we've got a guy he's intelligent, he has a show, he's doing his thing, he gets a lot of ladies, he was divorced, he had lots of girlfriends. He got an inflated idea of what he was and decided, everybody wants me.
He started thinking
he's like Mick Jagger. So the people at work want me. My assistants want me. The girl that works at the house wants me. And did you see what his move was? People that worked in the house, like his assistants or whatever, he would walk in front of them naked.
What?
Like going from the shower or like getting ready, he would just walk by. That's an ego move. That's like, get a load of this, which, I mean, think about how misguided and inflated that ego is if you're Charlie Rose, who probably looks like, a mix between a raisin and a chicken cutlet. And you're strutting across the room thinking in your head like, what is with guys thinking that people want to see, like, this is an ego, real narcissist ego thing.
Well, there's a big problem with even people that are comedians, when they see that they're like a female fan, will say, "Oh, you're so funny." These guys are so misguided socially that it's like, "Oh, she wants me."
Yeah.
And it's like, "No, she just likes your jokes and what you do, or likes your music, or there's some people that immediately connect, oh, she really likes me, to a sexual thing instead of the art part of it, you know?
And then it goes further, because then it's when you do end up having some women and stuff, and then it becomes, well, everybody must want that. I mean, that's why Anthony Weiner, like, taking those pictures of himself and sending them. Like, any guy that takes a picture of his crotch and sends it places, it's like, it's the ugliest part of any human being is that part of our bodies. Why would you want to, like, what part of you thinks anyone wants to see that?
Yeah.
And so Charlie Rose strutting across with his wrinkled, white, pimply butt.
Well, that's what I think about. I was like, okay, the Charlie Rose thing would have happened no matter what time during technology. But like Anthony Weiner, let's say he's in the 50s or 60s before cell phones or anything like that. What is his outlet for that? Or is it just something that he wouldn't even think about doing?
I think he would do it. Apparently, it's a big move of guys just to unzip it and do ta-da, right? Like the guy with the overcoat. That used to be the pervert of the olden days, right? All the cartoons and stuff would show a creepy guy in the subway in just an overcoat, like, and they'd open it up and he'd be showing his wares.
Yeah, I just remember Barney Miller. Remember there was always a flasher in the jail cell? And it was always the guy who had like no shoes on. He just had the jacket and a hat.
And just excited. And
sunglasses.
How soon from the time the printing press was created, did somebody put a dirty story or dirty picture on it? Probably couldn't have taken too long.
No, the dirty, well, that's the weird thing about these guys, you know. Even the 50, like the Rickles era guys didn't like swearing. They felt like that was rude and way over the line, but they're perfectly fine saying racist or sexist jokes.
Right.
So that's what I'm wondering is if like it was always like nuanced, you know, like jokes related to like sex instead of like just actually dirty stuff, you know?
Innuendo and stuff
before Playboy. I'm sure Playboy was the first place where they had like a truly dirty joke, don't you think?
Yeah,
like the 50s.
Yeah, I guess there was something like Pulp Fiction and that kind of thing, but
I mean, you could still get arrested for swearing on stage.
Yeah, but yet when men were with women, they were able to do whatever they want, knock them around, and no one had a problem with it.
Right.
I don't know. It's just a creepy, narcissistic kind of thing that these guys all think that, like, that's the move. Like,
yeah.
Lee.
Yeah, and that's
Creeposaurus. The Al Franken one seems weird. That one seems like more like goofing around kind of stuff. But, you know, my wife was saying, like, when guys do that and, like, come and try and make out with you like that without permission, it's, you know, it's putting your big face and fat tongue on somebody.
Yeah.
You're not asking for it.
The only confusing part is like that. So that woman, you know, not that it's like, but her whole thing, even on that tour, because they have all the films of the shows. So her big move on that tour is she's slapping guys on the ass. She's like Robin Williams. She's smacking him on the ass while he's telling jokes. And so, like, you know, not that it didn't happen, but if like that,
but if everybody's like having fun and like acting like this is all just horsing around. And then the other part, then the second woman that comes out and says that he grabbed her butt when they were taking a photo at the state fair.
Yeah, that one.
Do you know how many people have grabbed my butt when we've taken photos?
Yeah, that's true.
Like after shows, you know, they're just girls just grab you and their husband's right there and they're like, ha ha ha, you know.
Yeah, they think it's funny.
Yeah, and it is funny. Mm. You know, it's kind of obnoxious if they're disgusting looking. But I mean, it really is just people just being, they're drunk, they're doing whatever. You know, you don't take offense to it. And if you're there at the state fair, it's not like he's wielding power over somebody. But apparently Charlie Rose is, I mean, it really comes down to like the workplace, right? It's like if you have power over someone and they're working for you, it's just off limits. You just can't do that. Just stop it.
And also any place that sex is the kind of marketing tool, then everything becomes foggy. Like they're talking about all these women that were apparently abused or raped during porn shoots. And it's like, well, how do you know what?
What's the good porn? Yeah. I know.
It's like Rashida, you're already Jones, naked. Like if he's touching you, then
Rashida Jones did a great documentary on the whole porn industry, like the amateur porn videos. Yeah, it's great. It's on Netflix. You'll never watch porn again. Really, because you see these young girls who, especially now, they think they're going to get famous. And they really think it's just a way, like the Kardashians, like,
to,
you know, use that. But then you'll be famous and how many likes are your videos getting? But these girls are just like, these producers are just throwing them to the wolves. And you got to do these five horrible things for like 6 hours in a day.
Right.
Cutting these videos out of it. It's horrible.
Yeah, and that's...
You know, it's not... Anything that's like attached to some kind of a website or any... These are not people that are just like, you know, with their camera at home making a thing and having a good time with it and thinking it's okay.
Yeah.
From Rashida's documentary, it's pretty much that 90%, let's say, are victims.
Right.
They get into it, they get fooled, and then it's just dirty, dirty, dirty business.
Yeah, that's the whole thing that's horrible about it, is like almost all of this stuff is true, and then there's those stories like, you know, the Duke lacrosse team and the woman who was dating the guy who owned the Clippers, who,
yeah,
you know, she was recording stuff just in order to blackmail.
Right, and take this old man down.
So it's like this one in a million shot of, like, people that are actually manipulating.
Well, and then if it goes too far and you start having all these bogus ones, you're back to people...
not believing anybody.
Right, exactly.
So
dirty,
it's like,
business. But, you know, it's funny, like, I literally yesterday just said... did you hear about Charlie Rose? And it's either he's dead or he's
right.
or he's done some groping.
Yeah.
Right? That's like the game we play now. It's like, and it's so exhausting. Really,
right.
It's exhausting. Well, we're happy to say that there's been no harassment filed here at the podcast. we don't even sit close enough to each other for it to be a problem. You have said suggestive things now and again. But and under the guise of comedy.
I'm always wondering why I'm sitting below the desk, though, if you just come out with no pants one of these days.
It's so terrible.
That's why we don't do the video cam anymore.
The video cam is off limits. So excited for the Thanksgiving meal. I am, you know, anybody that complains, I was thinking, that complains about the holidays being lame, it's that you're lazy. You didn't put a little, you got to put a little effort into it. If yours is lame, then you got to jazz it up and do something. If you're everyone that you're going to be with is obnoxious, show up with a movie.
Well,
if you're going to the food, if grandma makes horrible cranberry sauce, you show up with a pudding pie.
Right.
Do whatever you got to do to change it. So we have a very good menu.
Yeah.
We've got all the booze in. I think tomorrow will be nice and easy to drift in to start making everything. You're going to be very pleased, Paul, with the results this year.
Well, I did my shopping last night for the big pudding pies.
The big pudding pie contest between you and my youngest daughter.
So
going head to head in a pudding pie throwdown.
Yeah. Because when I first started with the Papa Thanksgiving, because the whole point is when you're traveling like we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily for us, December kind of slows down. You do some corporate shows or maybe some local shows, and then you kind of hang out with family, which I'll do in December.
Right.
But I've always figured out that traveling on Thanksgiving week is an absolute nightmare.
It's a rough one.
It is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That's why they made the movie out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
It is rough. Nuts.
So this is the good thing, that this week is actually relaxing for me. And when I first came to this Thanksgiving, you guys were all about these fruit pies and pumpkin and apple and all these...
When you say you guys, do you mean all of Americans?
I mean, this household was really into fruit pies. That was the big deal.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, well, have you ever had a pudding pie? It's amazing. And then your wife made one. And then that was the huge hit. Nobody even touched the apple pie. I think Bella ended up with the apple pie. And then now we've gone to, this might be year two or three of, you know, everyone's making their own pudding pies now.
There are still a dominant force of pumpkin and apple pies, the traditional pies, which we won't get away from. I don't think I've ever eaten a pudding pie.
Come on.
I'm serious. I don't think I've even had a bite.
You're
I'm a
crazy.
Traditionalist. I'm not going to poo-poo your pudding pie. I'm just excited for you and my daughter to have a bit of a contest to see what goes down.
Well, we're going to switch it up because in the past it's been, either chocolate or vanilla, so there might be a little variation of that.
Ooh, are you going to come in with a curveball?
We'll see.
Are you going to come in with a halfy half?
We'll see. We went shopping last night, and there's definitely more options out there now. So,
oh boy,
it's going to be something
black and white, maybe.
Could be something a little bit different. So we'll see.
Ooh, Nelly, this is very exciting.
What's going on?
I'm just watching a woman take my wife's parking space. If this woman knew the trouble that was waiting for her.
We have a trap door, pothole.
I wonder what she's doing, where she's going to go. My wife is going to be very angry. Well, it's going to be very exciting. And, you know, we also have a tradition here at the podcast where people always ask us, well, you're comedians, why don't you make us laugh? And why don't you tell me a joke? And we always tell them we don't have those jokes in our heads. And they wonder why.
So this is our segment to punish those people who want us.
This is a segment called Street Jokes.
What has been the feedback lately?
People have been sending jokes in, and I apologize that I haven't been really great at downloading them. One sent us a dead baby joke that he was very excited by, but I apologize. I did not do the work in time to download it.
But
I will look for it and put it on the extra podcast.
Well, my approach has been trying to sell super cheesy jokes. And then last week, I actually got a good pool of funny jokes.
Right.
Which still were cheesy. So now I'm back to like, these are the worst ones I can find.
You want to start?
Well, this is a brand of joke that is, these are just all bad.
All right.
You want to hear a joke about pizza?
Yeah, I do.
Never mind. It's too cheesy.
Ah.
Want to hear a joke about jump rope?
Yeah, I do.
Nah, let's skip it.
Ah.
Want to hear a joke about a ball?
You bet I do.
I got a bounce. The guy ran out.
He ran out of that style.
He had four.
This one's for the holidays. As you know, the Macy's parade is coming, and Santa will be at the end of the parade. One day, a little boy wrote to Santa Claus, "Please send me a sister." Santa Rose wrote back to him, "Okay, send me your mother." Oh, boy.
It's like a dad joke. Yeah, dad jokes. We figured out that that's what the genre we're telling are dad jokes.
Boy in the bath with his mom. Boy says, "What's that hairy thing, Mom?" Mom replies, "That is my sponge." "Oh, yes," says the boy. "The babysitter's got one. I've seen her washing Dad's face with it." Terrible.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. Want to hear a joke about paper?
Yeah, I do.
Never mind. It's terrible. Get it? Tear? Like T-E-A-R?
Terrible. Oy.
Yikes. See, it's really hard to be a comedian, just so you know. These are published jokes in books.
People thought these were enough,
just to,
good enough to share with other people in the written form.
Just to not give you an overinflated sense of what your book should be, Tom. These are published joke
How
books.
I would not be end up on the bestseller list, I have no idea. these are so bad.
Yeah, and it's all based on sexist and racist stuff. Want to hear a joke about women's rights? No. Are you trying to get me killed? What are all these? I think these are people that just stay in their basement and try to write jokes that are puns.
Hey, yay, yay. I'm going to do an obscure one. Desert island jokes.
Okay. Desert island.
Yeah, I don't even know what this would be. A blonde, a brunette, and a redhead are all stuck on a deserted island together. The island is 20 miles from the nearest inhabited island, so they all decide to try to swim there. The redhead makes it 10 miles, is exhausted, gives up, and drowns. The brunette makes it 15 miles before she's too tired to go any further and drowns. The blonde gets 19 miles away from the deserted island, decides she's too tired to go any further, and swims all the way back to the deserted island.
So she was dumber?
Yeah, because she only had 20 miles to go, and she ended up doing 38 miles.
Meanwhile, two people are dead. So that's supposed to be funny?
Why is there even a category of this?
It just shows you how far off people are with jokes.
Two men and a woman were the sole survivors of a pleasure cruise ship that sank in the Bermuda Triangle. They made it to an uninhabited island. 2 weeks later, the woman jumped off a cliff because she was so ashamed of what she was doing. 2 weeks after that, the two men buried her because they were so ashamed of what they were doing. 2 more weeks passed by, and the men dug her up again, being so ashamed of what they were doing. What? Did that make any sense?
I don't think I just
space out in the middle? Did I pass out and keep talking?
No, I think all these, like, you can, as a comedian, you can see what they're trying to say. But
wow,
there's the execution.
Wow, that's is really sad. Really sad.
But
indeed.
That's why we never learned before YouTube. How would you learn how to be a comedian if you were just reading these horrible joke books?
Well, you read them and you knew when you had a good one and you didn't have a good one.
Well, I mean, that makes you think about how hard Rodney Dangerfield's stuff was.
Hey. Hey.
Dr. Vitty Boombots.
Hey, I saw my doctor. Horrible imitation. Do you know I ran the steps of that Rocky ran when I was
In Philly?
Yeah.
Cool.
With a donut in my mouth.
That's cool. Did you find that you had trouble running or you were good?
I was good. I went for a run yesterday. I'm fine.
So are you on your way to a marathon? Is it too early to say that you're...
It's too early to declare that, but I could run one.
Well, the LA Marathon is next month.
Do you want to hear some of the best two-line jokes of all time?
I'd love to.
I told my wife she was drawing her eyebrows too high. She looked surprised. And the Lord said unto John, come forth and you will receive eternal life. But John came fifth and won a toaster. Best jokes of all time.
All time.
I threw a boomerang a few years ago. I now live in constant fear. My wife accused me of being immature. I told her, get out of my fort. The silence is so
the constant
hurtful.
Fear.
I can't even, that's it. I could only get through number four. Oh, that's so bad. So bad. Those are really bad. I apologize. How about one for the holidays? Can we just do that? Can we just give the people a little something nice that they can say when they're at their dinner and they can just give the people in their life a little something to be thankful for, a little humor from the podcast? Can't we at least do that for our friends? Can't we?
This is the thing, is like, if we actually researched these jokes,
yeah,
we would get depressed too. Like, you're just like, how could anyone think that this was ever funny? Do you think it's time? Do you think it's the dating of these jokes?
No, a joke is a hard thing. Usually we get one or two that are fun. All right, ready? Thanksgiving. This is one for you. What would you get if you crossed a turkey with a ghost?
I don't know.
A poultrygeist. There you go. What did the police? Why did the police arrest a turkey?
Why did the police arrest a turkey?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They suspected foul play.
Oh.
Why did the turkey cross the road twice?
I don't know.
To prove he wasn't a chicken. Ho! What happened when the turkey got into a fight?
I don't know.
He got the stuffing knocked out of him. Ho! What did the mother turkey say to her disobedient children?
I don't know.
If your father could see you now, he'd turn over in his gravy. What kind of weather does a turkey like? Foul weather. What's the best dance to do on Thanksgiving? A turkey trot.
What kind of ball does a turkey hit? A foul ball.
A lot of foul. Well, all right, here's a good one. This one, everybody, I want you to focus on this one because this one you're going to need to memorize. This is the one that you're going to be telling your family at Thanksgiving or when you're making the pies just to break up the monotony. This is the one that you are going to put in your pocket and say, my friends Tom and Paul gave this to me as a Thanksgiving gift.
Okay.
What sound does a turkey's phone make?
I don't know.
Wing, 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 wing. There it is. That's your Thanksgiving Day gift.
Oh, man.
Woohoo. Well, everybody, we hope you have a good holiday. If you're a subscriber, you can move on to the Top Secret podcast after this, where we're going to continue the Thanksgiving fun. We hope all you guys have a great and happy holiday. Enjoy yourself. And we don't mean just on Thanksgiving. Stuff your fat face for the rest of the weekend and realize that you're too fat to worry about being losing weight during this holiday season and coast from here until the 4th of July in just bake-filled joy and happiness. We're thankful that you're listening. We're thankful that we didn't run out of batteries on the podcast today. And we wish you well.
Yeah, and don't walk from your bathroom with no clothes on. Nobody wants to see it.
Yeah. Keep your clothes on. Nobody wants to see it. Even if you're married, turn the lights off. All right. That's it. Enjoy your life.